Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be around this world. Thank you for tuning in to the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader. I'll be your host here this evening and tomorrow night. So please join us. Strange news, more bad news in the world coming out. She was one of America's moms, a television icon that endured through generations. Florence Henderson, who played Carol Brady on The Brady Bunch, died Thursday from heart failure at the age of 82. Our thoughts and prayers are again with her TV and real-life family dealing with this loss. And there is breaking news from just moments ago. Fidel Castro, Cuba's former president and leader of the Communist Revolution, has died at the age of 90, state TV has announced. It provides no further details at this point. Fidel Castro ruled Cuba as a one-party state for almost half a century before handing over the powers to his brother Raul in 2008. His supporters praised him as a man who had given Cuba back to the people, but his opponents accused him of brutally suppressing opposition. In April, Fidel Castro gave a rare speech on the final day of the country's Communist Party Congress. He has passed away as well. This has been a very tough year for celebrities and people in the news for deaths. 2016 can get out of my way as quick as possible, in my opinion. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening, and I don't say that lightly. One of my favorite guests, Steph Young, will be joining me. It's been about a year, year and a half since we've had her here on Coast to Coast AM, and Steph is going to talk to us about this very strange phenomena that's taking place. She contends that there are some strange and highly unusual predators that live in the woods and forests across the world and are associated with numerous unexplained disappearances of people. We're going to hear some of the most unusual and bizarre stories and encounters tonight. And then we'll open up phone lines in the next 2 hours of the show. We'd love to hear from you, the listeners of Coast to Coast AM. Your questions, stories, scenarios, and more. We'd love for you to chime in and be a part of the show. That's what we have on tap. Tomorrow night, we're going to do some time travel with Jeff Belanger. He's got some amazing stories, insights, and reflections we'll share upon. And then we're going to also talk about a very bizarre, haunting case, a demonic encounter in which it was a water demon brought water rain into this woman's home and was tormenting her. We'll do that tomorrow on Coast to Coast. And we're going to take a quick break. We've got so much on tap. I want to get to it right away. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, for the evening, sitting in for George Norrie. Joining me for the first 2 hours, Steph Young. She's an independent researcher addicted to researching all paranormal, supernatural, esoteric, and enigmatic mysteries. She has a BA in business and taught English at language colleges. And each book she writes seems to lead her further into questions and searching for answers as the mysteries inevitably deepen and develop into more and more complex riddles in the spectrum of the unknown. Having kept a very low profile until recently, she researches the areas of the unexplained. Steph is now disclosing her real identity and breaking her cover and coming out to talk to us more on the show. She's written under the name Stephen Young. She's here with us this evening, Steph Young, to show us and talk to us about some of the research and stories she's collected about mysterious disappearances in the woods, strange predators that lie outside the realm of lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Steph, welcome back to Coast AM.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you back. It's been, I think, about a year, year and a half since we talked to you last on Coast to Coast. So I'm glad that you're able to join me back and discuss this. For our listeners that aren't familiar, Steph, what drew your attention to this aspect of research? Why this bizarre research into missing people and strange encounters in the woods?
Well, it kind of began when I was researching for a book on time travel, and I kept coming across places where there were supposed to be vortexes or portals or dimensions, and a lot of these places were in forests. So that's what started me looking into forests, but I found that in a lot of the cases where there were vortexes or portals, there were also really strange encounters with paranormal things. Or there might have been ley lines, there might be strange lights in the sky, so possibly UFO sightings. And all of these unexplained things seem to converge into this one area in the forest. But this was going on worldwide. So that's really what led my fascination into looking into all of it.
The idea that there are these strange disappearances, these weird encounters that take place in the woods, national parks, and large areas all around the world. Are there also a considerable amount of UFO sightings over these same areas, or do they seem to be no exact correlation between monster sightings, enigmatic creatures, and UFOs?
There really does usually seem to be reports of people seeing strange lights in the sky or even having unusual encounters with something that they can't really identify, so some kind of entity as well. So, of course, you could say, well, that's a UFO thing, or you could say that's a paranormal thing, and that's where the difficulty lies because there's so much going on and you don't know which really is the answer.
We've got some kind of very strange hum and buzzing coming every time you speak. What I'll do is we're going to clear the line, Steph Young, and have them try to reconnect with you on a different line, see if we can get you a little bit better. It's just I don't want to, sanction off part of our audience from that strange, bizarre humming noise. You've got a great story to tell. I want to make sure people can hear that. This has been something that's fascinated me throughout my whole life. I'm an avid indoorsman, as I've referred to myself. Not a big fan of the outdoors, although I played in it as a child. My grandparents owned 40 acres of property in Foley, Alabama. And about 10 acres of it was livable. The rest was just wild woods. And I used to spend countless hours over Thanksgiving break out there with my cousins having fun and, shooting BB guns and walking about and fishing at my grandfather's pond. I was not aware of the whole Bigfoot phenomena at that point. As a matter of fact, I was just home in Illinois this past week. My mother passed away, and I was there with a bunch of my cousins, and we were talking, and we started to discuss this very strange instance. And many of us remember the loud sound of footsteps in the woods. Something walking about that you thought, well, you know, the woods were dark and filled with strange creatures and snakes galore. It was water moccasin county out there, and it was damp areas and creeks and streams that ran all through that 40 acres. So you'd have to really be aware out there to see what was going on. And I remember one time my cousin and I, Rob, who was about 2 years younger than me, we were fishing at my grandfather's pond. I was probably about 11, 12 years old. So he was 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that realm. And we were fishing, and we could hear what sounded like something large working its way through the woods towards us. And we kept looking at each other. Now, it wasn't uncommon for our fathers or grandfather to go out hunting in those woods. At first we weren't sure what it was, but it just sounded big, whatever it was. It sounded big and heavy as it moved through. And at the back of the pond, you could see the large bushes that stood. And they were tall. They had to be well over 6 foot tall, the shrubbery out there. And there was a little walk bridge. And the footsteps got louder and louder and louder through the woods, the crunching noise. And suddenly at the back of the pond, you could see this bush start to shake as though something was moving it. And then over the top came this, what I could only describe as a furry hand, this hairy hand, reminded me very much of Chewbacca as I look back at it now, because the hair came up over the top of it, and it pushed down this bush top and stared at us. And there, revealed from the nose, right underneath the nose up, was this dark gray matted haired creature. It didn't look human to us. And now, mind you, we were, a good 50, 60 yards away from it, but it didn't look human. It had dark inset face, but this wild kind of gray mane and this hairy grayish hand covered in hair that pushed on the bush, and it stared at my cousin and I. And my cousin and I looked at each other and looked back at this creature, and we Scooby-Dooed it, man. We were up the hill quickly, ran to the house, half expecting to find it was one of our parents just screwing around with us, playing a joke. We get all the way back up there, everybody's in the house. So we relayed our story, and it was enough to send my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather out into the woods with a shotgun to go see what was going on out there. And they never ever uncovered things, but we never went out there by ourselves again. We were always at least in a group of two or three of us, and if we started hearing things moving that were big in those woods, we would hustle quickly back to the house. So the idea of something out in the woods has always kind of unnerved me and frightened me. And we hear from so many people, Steph, welcome back to the show, of people that have these weird encounters with creatures. Sometimes they can see them, And sometimes they cannot, almost like the Predator movies, something moving around them, moving bushes and trees, but there's no visualization of it. And are you finding that these type of encounters are taking place all across the world, or do they seem to come in certain specific areas?
No, it's all over the place. I've looked into forests in Ireland, England, America, but as far away as Zimbabwe or Peru. So it seems to happen everywhere. Talking about the hairy hands, there is a phenomenon in the Dartmoor National Park in England of something that's called the hairy hands. And this happened probably back in the 70s when there were sightings of literally just disembodied hands. For example, a woman was driving along on the moors, and it's very desolate and remote there, and it was a winter evening where her car stopped working. So she pulled the logbook out to have a look, and she had the light on, above her. And she suddenly felt really strange, and she looked at the glass, and she saw disembodied, hairy, huge hands walking across the glass. Well, this happened to a lot of people, but it wasn't in the mainstream news. Nobody really knew about it. And a man was actually found not long after. He was found underneath his car, and he was dead, but they could never work out what had happened to him. And an army soldier was on his motorbike, and he said that he had this sensation that his bike was going out of control, and these hairy hands appeared in front of him, and they took hold of the steering wheel of the motorbike and steered him into a wall. So there's some really, really strange things. But also talking about the invisible ones and the predator type ones, when I was writing a book a couple of years ago, I called it Predator in the Woods, because I was finding accounts where people were seeing shimmering things, so they weren't solid. You couldn't really see them, but you could see something moving. You couldn't really define their shape, but you could see that something was there. And prior to them appearing, everything would go quiet, so the woods would go silent.
When you're reading these accounts and you're talking to these people relating these stories back to you, has it made you think twice yourself about going into these wooded areas to research and look into it?
Yes. I think you should go in a group and not on your own. Yeah, definitely.
Right, but in that case, I mean, when there's unseen beings, are you even safe in a group? That's where my fear comes in.
Well, quite possibly not. I'll give you an example, actually, in Malaysia that I was looking into recently, and I was finding lots of newspaper reports, and a group had gone into the forest. They were hiking, and they'd gone up to the peak of the forest when suddenly the tour guide saw one of the group running for her life, and she ran to the edge of the crevice, and she abseiled down at a shockingly fast speed. Well, they all took off after her, and when they got down as well, they found her sitting underneath a tree, and she was covering her ears. And she was in hysterics. So they said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "It's coming to get us." Well, they decided they'd better take her out of the forest. So they led her out. But she said later, "My experience didn't end there, because I couldn't sleep all night, because all I could hear was the screaming. But then the rest of them couldn't hear a thing." And this happens quite often as well. So one person might notice something or be affected by something, but the rest of them are fine.
It almost makes you wonder about infrasound. I know some animals can communicate through infrasound. I've got two cats at home, and my daughter had said, they make a sound that you can't hear where they communicate back and forth. I'm like, no, I watch these cats all the time. And all of a sudden I started noticing one of the cats would open its mouth and make this kind of high-pitched clicking sound, and the other cat would come running from the other room. And I'd never been aware of that before. So it makes me wonder if some people are just more in tune to this frequency or this high-pitched infrasound that the animals are sharing, and that's what allows them to hear or witness it when others can't.
I guess it's possible. Maybe it can even translate to some kind of high-pitched scream. I don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of occasions where screams are heard in the woods, but there's never anybody there, but they just hear this scream.
I talked about the fact that this was really one of the more chilling experiences I've ever had in my life. We were in a forest preserve in Illinois. Native American burial plot is there. As a matter of fact, I believe it's engraved on the stone. Talks about the Native American culture and family there. And we were there walking around. It was a couple of my buddies and I and you know, a few young ladies. And we were kind of investigating and walking out there to see what we could hear. When suddenly, as we're good middle of this forest preserve, this, and it's dark, this wailing noise, at first we thought was an alarm, just this kind of filled the woods, and we're all looking at each other like, wow, is there some kind of alarm going off? It was late at night. It shouldn't be a test alarm. Clear skies. There's no reason it would be a tornado alarm. What are we hearing? And the weird thing about this stuff was it is dissolved from this loud wailing alarm sound to what sounded like 100 dogs, a pack of wolves or dogs moving through the woods, barking and this whole noise just pushing its way through the woods. And, you know, we thought, oh, you know, we're in coyote country. Did we step in the wrong area here? So we kind of made this little circle around the girls and each, you know, reach down and grab a stick to try to protect ourselves, thinking we're going to have to beat these dogs off if they start attacking us. And this noise is coming, and you can hear this twigs breaking, the grass and the sound of the dry leaves crunching, and this howling, this 100 dogs moving through the woods towards us. And we're slowly backing up thinking, what do we do? How do you escape this? This is not going to go well. And I remember consciously thinking, please just let this stop. Please just let this stop. And bam, it went from this cacophony of dog sounds to nothing. And anybody that's been around dogs knows they won't just stop. They may quiet down, but you'll still hear the, you know, of the other dogs in the pack. But it just stopped. There wasn't a sound of a footstep. There wasn't a sound of a howl or a bark. Just done. And I said out loud, okay, we get the message. We're out of here. Sorry to have disturbed you. We set down our sticks and we backed out of there quickly and got back to our car and never went back. But I thought, man, what the hell did we just experience? That was chilling to the core to hear coming through the woods at us.
Oh, my goodness. I remember a man called Russ Chastain, and he had gone on one of his first hunting trips with his father, and they'd set up in separate trees, and he said, all of a sudden, he could see the tree move in front of him, and then it seemed like something had gone past him, and it was behind him now, and all the rustling was behind him. And then he heard the most horrific scream. He said it sounded inhuman, it sounded ethereal. And he thought, my God, I don't know how to defend myself, because he had a gun, but he thought, I can't see what it is. How do I defend myself against something invisible? And eventually, I think adrenaline took over, and he scaled down the tree and he ran for his life back to the car. Well, his dad, of course, was in a different tree. The boy waited for hours for his dad to come back to the car. And then his dad said, well, where did you go? And he said, well, my God, didn't you hear that noise? And he said, no, what are you talking about? Well, they weren't that far away from each other, you know, but they would have heard it. So, I mean, these, you know, they're inexplicable when you hear this sort of thing happening.
Right now, you know, and I live in Minnesota. This is hunting season, deer hunting season. Many of these people have these makeshift little, you know, posts up in trees where they're out hunting. And I've heard, again, from some of the locals, some of the more chilling accounts where they'll have a deer scoped in and they're ready to, you know, take their game, when out of nowhere they will hear the most guttural, ear-shattering screech in the woods. And it's not like a hoot owl or anything like that. It is, although something is trying to warn the other creatures of the woods, and animals from every direction, birds, everything will just take off, and it shatters the silence of the morning when these calls come out. Do you hear much from hunters that have these type of encounters as well?
Well, yes. Actually, a man contacted me recently and sent me in his story, and then we were corresponding about it. And he'd been out with a friend hunting in the middle of nowhere. They'd gone up to some lakes, so they'd gone up on an incline for a bit. When they realized it was getting dark, they thought, okay, we better get going. Well, they saw something, but they couldn't really work out what it was, and it seemed to be on 2 feet, not 4. But the weirdest thing about that one was it looked a kind of white colour. It did look like it was possibly physical, but they couldn't, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a bear. They couldn't work out what it was. And the even weirder thing was it was mimicking them. So they would move, it would move, they would stop, it would stop. And this sounds really funny, but at one point they even waved, and it waved back. And then they heard the most horrific scream coming, but they didn't know whether it was coming from that thing or from somewhere else. And it was the most awful experience, they said.
Sounds like it. Steph Young, our guest, we have to take a break, Steph. We'll continue to hear more strange and unusual encounters in the woods. Our guest, Steph Young, you can find more information about her and her books by visiting coasttocoastam.com. Stay tuned. We've got a lot coming your way. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, thank you very much for joining me on my journey this evening. If you like what you hear on Coast to Coast AM, did you know this would make an excellent gift? The season for giving is right around the corner here. You can give the gift of Coast to Coast. Make your friends and family an insider, and they'll get to know why this is the best in overnight talk radio. You can get more information by going to coasttocoastam.com. coasttocoastam.com. Become an insider. A one-year subscription breaks down to just 15 cents a day. 15 cents a day gives you access to 5 years of past archives, gives you one-on-one chats with George Norrie and other fascinating guests you hear on our show. So please go familiarize yourself with it. Give yourself the gift that keeps on giving and share the wealth. Give it to your friends and loved ones so that they can take Coast to Coast with them everywhere they go. Once you listen, you'll know why we're the best in overnight talk radio. And since we are talking about the holiday season, don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer, Night Talk, is now out. George Norrie's novel. You want to pick that up? You can get it at Amazon.com. Night Talk by George Norrie. It's a creepy, great little murder mystery kind of book. So pick it up for yourself and share it with your loved ones as a great little stocking stuffer. And remember, you don't have to be alone this holiday season. George Norrie's got you covered there, too. ParanormalDate.com and ConspiracyDate.com. You can meet others just like you that are interested in all the great topics that you hear on Coast to Coast AM. You can go sign up. There are thousands upon thousands, close to, I think, almost 40, 50,000 members now on Paranormal and ConspiracyDate.com. So go check out ParanormalDate.com, ConspiracyDate.com, and familiarize yourself with it. You can sign up, become a member, and if you like it, you can stay on for full membership as well. All the information can be found at ParanormalDate.com. Steph Young, my guest this hour and next hour, and then we'll take phone calls the last 2 hours of the evening. If you've had strange encounters in the woods, I want to hear about them. We'll do that in the next last 2 hours of this evening's show. We've got more coming your way. Stay tuned. Don't tune out. You want to be here for the best in overnight talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Steph Young, my guest this evening. How many books in total do you have out now regarding these type of topics, Steph?
Oh, I think it's 10 or so. It's quite a few now.
Are you surprised by the amount of stories that continue to come in?
No, and I always keep so much back that I need to carry on investigating because there is so much stuff to look into. It's just fascinating, you know, just so much.
When you're doing the research for these, do you go put yourself out into these wooded areas ever? Have you gone out to investigate these claims and see if you can feel that presence as well?
No, not to all of them because they take place all over the world, so I simply can't afford to go to them. But I've been to some in England and Ireland. But, you can't really just pick it up. I guess you're just one of the unlucky ones if it happens to you. So I can't say that I've gone there and something has happened, you know, or you can't really see anything that would make sense that would explain any of these things. It's a bit like perhaps in Rendlesham Forest, for example, where there's sort of missing time examples, and you wonder if somehow maybe someone sort of slipped into another dimension, because that does come up a lot as well. So I don't know, there's a lot going on, but actually finding the answer is not something that's going to be that easy.
Do you think there is an answer to this? Or do you think that there is many different things going on in these kind of experiences, aliens, monsters or creatures we've just not encountered yet, alternate dimensions, parallel time subs, vortexes? What's your theory on these kind of experiences?
I guess I would probably say it could be interdimensional. So perhaps, you know, we have a slip in time or a slip in vibration and it kind of shifts the landscape, perhaps. But as I said earlier, there's often so many different examples. So somebody's had an experience with the bright lights, they've got missing time, but they've also seen a dark figure, like a shadow man or some kind of black stick figure. So there's often this conglomeration of many things going on in the same area. And maybe, I know that some people have done research on ley lines, you know, the energy lines that you can't see and you can't really divine them yourself. But some people can sort of work out where they are. And there is a theory that this energy attracts the paranormal, it attracts interdimensional craft. So it could be something to do with the vibration of the land, but I don't really know.
Talking about these different type of creatures, one that's really kind of captured the imagination of the world right now is this character called Slenderman. Now, the weird thing about this, Slenderman is a fictional supernatural character that actually originated as this internet meme created by Something Awful forums user Eric Knutson, known as Victor Surge Online. He created that character back in 2009. It's depicted as this resembling kind of a tall, thin, unnaturally tall man with a blank face, no features, and usually features like a featureless face, wearing like a black suit and tie, sometimes a hat, sometimes having these like spider-like legs coming from his back. But people report seeing this creature in the woods. As a matter of fact, in Wisconsin a few years ago, two young girls carried out a brutal attack on a friend of theirs, trying to sacrifice her to Slenderman, thinking that he would open up some magical portal for them. There was a couple of other attacks that took place where people were trying to sacrifice their mother in hopes that it would open up the opportunity to see Slenderman. Are there sightings that you found of this creature that seemed to predate 2009 when this character was created as an online contest?
Well, I came across a book that was written by an anthropologist back in the 1920s, and he went around interviewing Native Americans on the reservations. He was actually doing research into skinwalkers. Well, he had an account of somebody telling him that they'd been riding through the forest at night when they'd seen something that they described in their words as a very, very tall, very slender, very long arms, very tall legs. And they actually called him the Slender Man. So that was back in the 1920s. He didn't harm the man, but the person who saw it said that it felt incredibly malevolent. So there was that. And in Scotland, there was accounts of something called the Gurning Man, and actually he sounded very much like the Slender Man in terms of the height and the lankiness, but he had a demented grin on his face and it seemed to stretch from ear to ear. So he was hideous looking and he was very jittery and agitated, and he used to appear in the middle of the road and then people would sort of try and get around him without him coming towards them, and then he would vanish. They'd turn around and he'd be gone, but there was nowhere that he could have gone to. So that reminded me of the Slender Man. So I think also there were accounts in sort of 18th century texts as well of seeing these hideously tall creatures, but they appeared as men and they would follow people home. So a couple of women were walking home one night on the way home from a dance, and this figure appeared and it kept pace with them. It was standing so close to them and they were so terrified that they told each other to look away from it because they couldn't bear to look at it. It didn't harm them, but it was, you know, twice their height. So it's possible that this slender being has been around for a long time.
Isn't that bizarre, though, that they can track the current incarnation to just a few years ago as an internet contest, and this guy believes he just created this creature. And now people are witnessing it. I mean, there's a famous game that's so popular, it freaks people out. There's a movie that's coming out. I believe there's even... I believe there's like a docuseries or like a faux documentary series that's going to be coming out about Slender Man, but it's really kind of captured the attention of people, and yet you've got some real encounters with this that seem to span multiple cultures, multiple times in history, and they all line up to be this very same creature.
Yeah,
It's
very strange.
are creatures like this ever seen in groups? I mean, do we see in the same area, do we see Slender Man, Bigfoot, and Dogman, or aliens and Bigfoot in the same areas? Or do they all seem to be kind of segregated into their own places?
No, I don't think they've all been seen at the same time by the same person, for example, or by the same group of people. But if you look at one particular area, so if you take one forest, you will find that there's accounts of Bigfoot, there's accounts of, this predator-type shimmering thing, there's accounts of creatures that look maybe like they're an alien. But you wouldn't necessarily see them all together or as a group. I know that when there was a possible suggestion that two children had. Well, they've actually disappeared in Waltham Forest, which is outside of London, and it was alleged that they'd been taken by a craft. Well, I think the story really, when I looked into it, turned out to be that it was probably that they were taken by a child killer. However, when a UFO investigator was looking into it with his friend, he, after this has happened, he'd parked up and he was using binoculars to look at the area where the children had gone, and there was supposed to have been broken tree branches, and the suggestion was that the army had gone there and taken away the earth. Well, when he was looking through the binoculars with his friend, he could see this really tall figure, and it seemed to have long blonde hair and no facial features, and to be wearing some kind of black shroud. But the weird thing was that when he moved his vision in the binoculars, he sort of scoped around a bit more. He saw an identical creature only a few meters away from it as well. So there were two of them. And he says that they were skitting around insanely, just roaming around really, really fast.
That's just uncanny and weird. But when I was talking about these creatures in the area, I didn't necessarily mean like somebody walked in on a poker game with all of these characters together. I meant more in the lines of, some people have reported seeing Bigfoot, other people have reported seeing a Dogman, Slenderman at separate times, but all in the same general vicinity.
Yes, all in the same area. Yes.
It almost reminds me of the Lovecraft story From Beyond, kind of the tickling of the hippocampus and opening up so that part of the brain suddenly is exposed to seeing all of these things that are around us at all times, that are kind of living in the multi-layered universe, that are all there and sharing the same property, but until we stimulate ourselves into that zone, we can't see it. And it's so fascinating too, is we know that crystals have energetic properties, and release energy and can record different parts of energy. So you wonder if you've got areas where there's heavy limestone, quartz, or granite and underwater currents, and you're stepping into that, and we as a human force our own electromagnetic field. Do we some kind of in some kind of way become like a radio receiver? And in some of these areas, we're picking up that, and when we step into that vibration, it's not necessarily a portal as we would assume, like an opening in space and time, but it's more like you're just tuning into that frequency that allows you to see what's actually there and moving about just one step to the left in our consciousness.
Well, it's possible, isn't it? Maybe some of us are more attuned to it, or it's hard to say why some of us could see it and some can't. But actually, speaking of portals and speaking of the different amounts of things that you can see going on in one place, the Rendlesham Forest really is somewhere that seems to have so much activity, but of so many different types. Because it's actually a very sad story, because I was corresponding with a man called Chris Nash, and very tragically, he has just been killed leaving. He died leaving the forest. But he used to go there all of the time to Rendlesham Forest, and he was sending me photographs of what he'd captured when he was there. he used to meet friends quite often as well in there. Well, he'd sent me pictures. What it looked to me like was that it seemed that he'd captured some kind of entity on the camera. It looked very much like, I would say, a demon. It had bright eyes, yellow eyes. It had an angular kind of face. I mean, obviously, it was set against a dark background. But when you looked at the picture, you just felt this sense of really bad malevolence. And in fact, he took it to a medium, and the medium said, take it out of the house, I don't want it in here. Well, he after he went home, he believed that something had come back home with him, because when he was walking on a trail in the forest, he said he could hear something say his name. It said it into his ear. And then he said it felt like it was bearing down on him. And he said it just felt like death itself. Well, when he got home, he said that he started hearing growls in the house, and he woke up one morning with indentation marks on his skin. It looked like six fingers. Well, he said that his friends, who've been going there for many years, have also seen the photos. They've captured what looks like ectoplasm. They've captured orbs. His friend Brenda Butler has been going there for sort of 30 years. And in fact, she had her own UFO sighting a year before the famous Rendlesham Forest incident. And she used to live about 20 miles away from there on a farm with her father. And it happened about 3 a.m. She saw this bright light, and she opened and looked through the window, and she saw something landing, and then it took off a bit later. And the next morning, they went out, and they could see burn marks in the ground and broken treetops. Well, she also spoke to some local people, and there was a rabbit catcher, and he'd been out working that night in the forest. And he said that he thought he saw some little children, and it looked like they were dressed up, maybe in Halloween-type costumes. Well, he went to go towards them, and it's like they changed into different-looking beings. And he was so unnerved by it that he went back home and he phoned the base security, and when they came out, there were no children there, no entities at all. But they actually arrested him, and they took him in for questioning. Well, Brenda herself has been there many times, and she was there one day with an American friend, and they were just walking along the trail that they knew very, very well, when suddenly she said it was almost like the landscape completely changed, and it went from very dense trees to looking like an open field. And they carried on walking in it, but they wanted to really actually leave the forest. But it took them a long, long time. They couldn't find the way to get back out of the forest, and they didn't recognize any of the landscape. So she thinks, well, actually, it was almost as if the landscape was changed in front of us. Because when they finally did get out of the forest, they'd lost 4 hours, and they drove around to the spot that they thought they must have been in, but it looked completely how it used to look. So there are some places that almost seem to shift in their actual dimension. And she said, some people that go there, she said, they say that they've been taken by ETs and pulled down into the underground. And she said, but I don't believe that's true because I haven't had that experience. She said, but I have seen the Greys, and they've walked along beside us. So there seems to be so many different things going on there.
Yeah, it certainly does. We've only got about a minute left in this segment. Where do you find, from the research you've done now, to be some of the most heightened areas for these kind of encounters?
Oh, well, there's so many. I mean, I've got so many different stories. I've got the bizarre, bizarre stories that have taken place in New Mexico, in Ireland, in a forest. I've got a very strange story about nature beings and a perfect murder that took place in California in the mountains. You can pretty much look anywhere and you'll probably find them.
That's great. Well, and we've got all that to discuss this evening on the show. So we've got a lot of other creepy encounters. We're going to probably just allow Steph to tell her stories and share that with us for the next hour. We'll open up phone lines for the last 2 hours. If you have your own encounters in the woods, strange things that you've seen, lights in the sky, creatures on the ground, things stalking you, we'd love to hear from you in the last 2 hours of this evening's show. So make sure that you're a part of the show with us. And during the break, make sure you go check out the Coast to Coast Coast AM website. There's a lot of great news stories over there, a lot of cool things you can check out for yourself. As a matter of fact, there's a video of five of the worst Black Fridays, and there's also been a cache of DB Cooper files that have been released that you can check out, and a video that allegedly ends in a woman's terrifying possession. You can find that and information on all the great things you hear on the show. Go check it out at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with more. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.